QBR, I don't know what the hell that means, but it also dropped 33 points down to 54.8. I don't know how to judge QBR. But
you're listening to Talk Sports.
Sitting here looking at the numbers, his QBR when he won the MVP was 117.1. Last year,
not nitpicking, that's quarterback rating. The quarterback rating and QBR is two different things.
Okay, no, you're right. So his QBR was 79.4 when he won the MVP.
I don't know what the hell that means. Like I said, I don't know how to
judge.
Let's just
go by the rate. Yeah. Isn't that the one we usually go by?
Yeah, the rating is what we usually use. QBR, rating's different.
Well, forget QBR. Yeah. QBR throw it out, can go to hell.
Because no one knows what the hell it means.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
He had a QBR of 117. Went back to average in 2017.
QBR, he had a rating of 117.
Jesus Christ. He had a rating of 117. We still call it the quarterback rating, though, don't
I know,
we?
But you don't shorten it to QBR.
What the hell is a QBR?
No one knows!
Jesus.
On 1340 WKGN.
I have a definition if you want it.
You can read it to me. I've read it a million times. I still don't know what the hell it means. To be fair, I don't really know what the hell quarterback rating means either. Hour 2 kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour 2 headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course right now.
All right. Thanks, John. 2 years ago today. 2 years ago today, Butch Jones was fired as Tennessee's head football coach, and Brady Hoke took over as the interim.
2 years ago today.
2 years ago today.
We had a hell of a party that day.
We sure did. That was a lot of fun.
I was thinking about that last night.
I drank and drank and drank and drank.
It's a fun time.
Very fun time. I had the whole place chanting for you to drink, to take a shot of whiskey, and you wouldn't do it. You didn't do it.
I don't give in to peer pressure.
The whole place was chanting, John.
And I just said, nope, not
take
happening.
Take the shot. Yep. Take the shot. Probably 1,000 people chanting your name.
It was more like 150, but it was counting.
It was a lot.
And then I just said, nope, not doing it.
Talk about a letdown.
Talk about an alpha. Staring down 150 chanting people and just saying, no, I'm good.
Is that an alpha move?
Cam, alpha move or not alpha move?
I feel like the alpha would just drink the whiskey.
The alpha does what the alpha wants to do.
Yeah.
If you're listening to me right now, man on the street downtown last week who yelled at me, that's an alpha move to be like, nah, I'm good. I'm not taking this shot.
I feel like the alpha doesn't talk about that guy he had the altercation with on the street for a whole week.
This is the
You're still upset by that guy.
It's the first time I've mentioned him since then. I was just referencing the alpha conversation.
You're very upset by what he said to you.
No. I'm just still confused. I'm still confused about it.
It would be confusing. I would be a little confused by that. Our University of Tennessee Lady Vols went on the road last night and got a big program win. Kelly Harper's third game as they went to Notre Dame and defeated the Irish. 16th-ranked Notre Dame on the road handled them pretty well.
Shout out to my girl.
Penetrated their zone.
Shout out to my girl Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly getting a big win.
Yeah.
Pretty important.
I'm okay with it. I told you I was okay. She won me over with her presser and some of those things that the Lady Vol Twitter account put out about her, you know, as a player and stuff. I'm not going to hate on Kelly.
Yeah, didn't expect you to.
Did I besmirch the Lady Vols while Holly was in charge? Yeah, because that wasn't the Lady Vols.
Now it is.
Kelly's got them back playing tough basketball.
It's
I mean, I'm not going to act like I really care, but, like, I'm not going to – like try to put down their accomplishments. That was a good performance last night.
It's the first time Notre Dame has lost to a team not named UConn at home in 114 games.
Really?
Yeah. So pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. We'll keep an eye on that.
I hope they can sustain it. I mean, last year didn't they start out similar though? Didn't they beat like Texas as a ranked team, didn't they? Didn't we have a couple early season ranked
wins?
Yeah,
they went on the road and they beat Texas.
I mean, Notre Dame's better than Texas has been recently. I mean, but they were ranked 15th, 16th.
Yeah.
So they're down a little bit from what we're used to Notre Dame.
They are.
Still, it's nice to go on the road and smack somebody. I mean, Tennessee was 15, 16 point underdogs, if I'm.
Yeah, not ranked coming into the year for the first time ever. I like to think that they're going to be playing for this new coach. You know, there'll be a little new energy. Former President Jimmy Carter was hospitalized for a procedure to relieve pressure on his brain caused by bleeding due to recent falls. The procedure was scheduled to take place this morning. So, Jimmy Carter, former president, 95 years old. So anytime you're 95 having a procedure like that, it's a dangerous procedure. So we'll stay tuned. See how that shakes out.
Okay.
Alabama still has the highest chance to get the fourth spot in the college football playoff, according to ESPN's playoff predictor.
Oh, I'm sure that's very accurate.
A 41% chance to make the playoff. Oregon trails behind with a 32% chance.
Oregon Trail.
How about that? And then Oregon Georgia. Trail. Then Georgia with a 24% chance. You were pretty adamant yesterday that Alabama will not make the playoff.
I'm not changing my mind based off ESPN's playoff predictor.
All right.
Sorry. Ask me if I care about ESPN's power predict. What is it called?
I don't
remember the name.
I already
of it.
Know the answer. I feel...
Rhetorical question, McClure. I don't.
I don't know if I've felt stronger about a board bet.
All of a sudden, I can't afford very many more losses after a bad 3-1 weekend. I felt good about that weekend. I lost... I mean, I don't know why... Me, with as big of a brain as I have and how good my takes usually are, I spent all last week, or at least maybe 2 weeks ago, talking about how little home field advantage matters now. And then I turn around and I let you snake me with two road teams. And I got stuck with the home teams. Even though I'm like, hey, the road teams can go in and win. It doesn't matter anymore. And then it's what happens. And then somehow I take two losses because of it.
Three losses.
Three losses because of it. You took the road team in all three games and they won every three games.
LSU, Seahawks, Vikings.
You would have hit a nice little parlay there had you just bet on the Vikings, Cowboys, and...
I took all road teams. I took the Chiefs, too.
Yeah, at least my Titans can still win at
your
home.
Your Titans came through for you.
Your little three-team parlay of your road primetime games all would have paid pretty good money.
I should have actually put some money on it. Could have been like Weston.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I used to have thrown the Titans on there.
And the Falcons.
I never would have done either of those things. I would have thrown Denny Hamlin. I would have trusted you. The Tennessee football Twitter account gave a shout-out yesterday to...
Did we do turn left yesterday? Today's Tuesday.
To the Vol Twitter as it propelled Juwan Jennings to the top of the Biletnikoff Award fan vote yesterday. A lot of people were voting on the internet, and Juwan Jennings killed it in the Biletnikoff Award fan vote. Now, I don't know... I imagine that's a very minuscule percentage of the actual...
Nah, it's like one of 505 votes, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so, Jennings isn't the best receiver in the country.
That's pretty minuscule.
It's still nice.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going
to
win
nice
it.
To show him show him some appreciation.
I think he knows we love him by now.
Yeah. But it's still fun to do. I will say, I hope people keep the same energy. I tweeted out the link to the NFL Pro Bowl ballot. AJ Johnson's had a Pro Bowl caliber year. He's been really good. I hope people will rally and vote for him. I'd like to see him make the Pro Bowl.
Does that vote?
Yeah, the
count
vote
for
I mean,
more?
It matters way more. Yeah, like you actually vote the starters there, right? Like the fan vote decides the starters. I'm pretty sure. At least it does in the NBA and MLB. So like, I imagine it's going to count a lot for AJ Johnson's chances of making the Pro Bowl. So if Tennessee fans rally for him, that would be a pretty good look.
Yeah, probably won't happen, though.
I don't know. He's been really good.
I just mean they probably won't rally like Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, probably not. Plus, it's a lot harder to go in and log the vote.
I mean, it'd be cool, though, if people did.
Sure.
Sources told some guy named Mike in Columbia, who works for the ABC station, that Will Muschamp is expected to return next year as the head coach of the Gamecocks. And he said, for those asking, athletic director Ray Tanner will also be back through 2020. South Carolina is not happy with either of them. They do not like their athletic director, and they're not happy with Muschamp right now, but I know that they really hate their athletic director. I don't know why. I just always see things about that. But the ABC News guy down there said they'll both be back next year. So don't expect Muschamp to be fired.
Okay.
A high school coach is being suspended because his team beat another team 61-13. That is more than Plainridge County in New York's 42-point limit for margin of victory.
That's so stupid.
A psychologist is coming out now saying that people equate running up the score to bullying behavior.
Oh, my God.
Do you buy that?
No, and usually I try to see the other side on some of these stories, but, like, the only thing, like, I've seen some basketball games and some inner-city basketball games turn ugly. Like, I feel like you should be a little careful there if, like, you're in-city rivals and stuff like that.
Oh, man, what was that game I saw the other day that
lead
was
to brawl?
Did you see that basketball game the other day? It was like 140 to 40.
Yeah.
It was a – who was it? It was a college.
Yeah.
It was like a 94-point win.
Yeah.
I can't remember who that was. Let's see. College basketball, 94-point win. Utah. They beat Mississippi Valley State. 143-49 on Friday. That is a record for the margin of victory between Division I opponents. We didn't talk about that Monday. But maybe they should have been in winners and losers.
Yeah, maybe we should have put Lovie Smith in there, too. That was a big comeback he had. I was thinking about that. Illinois got bowl eligible. Poor Michigan State. Talking about not firing Muschamp. Michigan State had to come out and say the same thing about D'Antoni. Oh, but then he lost. He blew a 21-point lead to Illinois.
We might end
in
up
the fourth quarter.
Him.
Yeah, we might.
Might see him in the Tax Slayer Bowl.
Illinois?
Yeah.
It's possible.
We'd beat the hell out of Illinois.
Yeah, we would. I wouldn't even take much pleasure in that, I don't think.
I'd still rather play them than Iowa. I've had enough of Iowa. Give us somebody new, you know? We won't be playing Northwestern. They're 1-9. 1-8, maybe.
Maybe Indiana. Aren't they kind of ranked now?
Yeah, they, at one time they were. I'd play Indiana. That'd be cool.
I don't want the Mike DeBoard revenge game. He's still there, right?
I don't think he'd care about that.
Is he still there?
Probably.
I don't know if he is or not.
Well, anyway, this high school football coach in New York was suspended.
I think he is.
Because of a 61-13 win against Lynbrook.
Those are the rules, bro.
Apparently, you cannot beat a team by more than 42 points. What's the difference of beating a team by 42 and beating one by 49? Is it really a big difference?
I've always found it. You know, there was a coach that was trying to make a – there's another rule. I don't know if it's the same coach or what, but we kind of talked about it last week, I think, where he was having to try to – you have to show that you're trying to take your foot off the gas. So he was punting on first downs. They were getting the ball back, and he was just punting it back. If I'm another player on the other team, man, I'm much more embarrassed by that. Talk about bullying, like kneeling the ball out, punting on first down. That's more embarrassing. Like, play the game. It's much less embarrassing to me if you just play the game.
I've always been a proponent of if you want the score to not look so bad, then just stop them.
Well, some people can't stop them. Like, some people just can't. Like, I do think you should. I don't think you should be throwing for touchdowns and trying to score 100. Like, I understand that that looks bad optically. But sometimes you just can't stop yourself from scoring. Sometimes you're just that overmatched. And instead of punishing coaches, you should look around and say, how are we at this position where these two teams are playing? Like, why are we making these two teams play? This is kind of on us. We should have a mercy rule. Put a mercy rule in. Don't make the coaches embarrass themselves and embarrass their players and embarrass their other players and, like, let them risk getting hurt in a blowout. Just put a mercy rule in.
We used to have a running clock once it got to 35-0.
Do that in the game at 35-0.
And then if
why can't you just end the game? What's the difference? Is it more embarrassing to make the team go out there and play half speed and maybe get hurt or, you know, have to just make a mockery of the game? Or would it be better just to be like, you know what? You guys are overmatched, forfeit, game over, go be healthy, good luck next week.
Well, because sometimes teams would get up by 35, and then the clock stops if the other team scores. It goes back to regular clock if they make it closer. I mean, you could come back from 35 points down.
Okay, so 42 or 35 after halftime. You're not coming back after 35 points. And if I was the other team, I would be mad that all of a sudden you're changing the rules. Oh, the clock's going to stop now after we've taken our foot off the gas? You're going to give them more time to come back? No, stupid. Running clock is more of a gimmick than just ending the game. Just end the game, bro.
I think you should just keep playing the game regular like you played it in the first quarter. You play it in the fourth quarter.
I don't. I think you should end it.
I don't think so.
I think there should be a mercy rule.
It's a competitive event. The two teams are competing.
Sometimes there's no competition, though.
Well, that's just kind of part of the deal. I mean, mm-hmm. That's the nature of the game.
I mean, I would rather just play it full speed, full out, rather than do these stupid things, but I don't see the problem with just 40-point game, second half. Okay, yeah, this game's over. Let's go to the crib.
I think most coaches are probably just going to start running the ball.
Am I wrong, or do they have that in college softball? Is there a run limit in college softball?
Run rule?
Like after the fifth inning, if you're up a certain amount, does the game end, or am I confusing that with like Little League World Series or something? I don't. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Like 11-0 or something?
For some reason, I thought there was one, but I might be getting
the Braves could have used one against the Cardinals.
It would have saved a lot of time.
If one team is ahead by 8 runs after 5 innings, hence the name 8-run rule.
Game's over?
They call it.
Is that in college softball?
Yeah, in softball.
So in college softball, we can just go ahead and call the game, but like other sports are like feeling too proud to do it. Softball, I respect them. They're like, hey, 5 innings, you're down 8. You're not coming back. Let's go to the crib.
Do they only play 7 innings in softball?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, that doesn't really quite seem like enough, but I guess it is.
Baseball is to do it after the 7th inning. If you're down 10 runs, yeah, let's just go ahead and go to the crib. Let's not throw these arms out. Let's not make these guys have to go out here and go through the motions. Let's just let's end it. Game over.
Sometimes it would make sense probably to just call it. I mean, sometimes you know what's going to happen.
If you're down 50, like, you know, maybe D1 college football is too much, but, like, I don't think anybody on Maryland's team was having fun playing Ohio State in the second half.
Yeah, they lost 73-14.
Yeah, I don't think that was productive for anyone. Go back to headlines. Stick with us. Talk Sports, Fan Run Radio. Speaking of, like, mercy rules and, like, knowing when to quit, deteriorating returns, all that stuff, diminishing returns, this hockey story about one of the legends that, you know, is a big part of American hockey coverage, too. The story you were telling about during the break seems newsworthy, I guess?
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah?
It's newsworthy. Don Cherry.
That's the guy that always wears the crazy suit jackets.
Yeah, he's like the
Sager.
Yeah, Craig Sager.
Sager's the guy who does Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune, yeah. He wears colorful suits sometimes, too.
I don't think of him as the colorful suit guy.
I was thinking of Craig Sager.
I know you were.
Yeah.
It'd be really weird if you were. He is, R.I.P.
Yeah. A lot of people really liked him.
Yeah, but then like after he died, we found out he was kind of a jerk and like had wrote his son out of his will. Yeah. And
I remember that.
Turns out he wasn't that nice. I don't know.
Maybe his son was a jerk.
Maybe his son is a jerk, but I did feel bad because like they did all those heartwarming stories like about how his son was giving him all his bone marrow and like trying to help him keep him alive and all that stuff.
Sounds like his son wasn't a jerk.
No, his son. I mean, he might have been, but he was helping his dad try to stay alive. He was like going to like donate a bunch of stuff.
And then he didn't put him in his will.
And then as soon as he died, yeah, the son was like, yeah, his new wife cut me and my sister out of the will. And then we're all just kind of like, oh, maybe Craig Sager was not that nice of a guy. But either way, Don Cherry, colorful suit guy.
Don Cherry, iconic Canadian hockey commentator.
Not to be confused with Don Cheadle, actor.
No, they're completely different people.
Yes.
Don Cherry has been fired by Sportsnet for some on-air remarks he made on Saturday, alleging that the country's immigrants do not properly honor fallen soldiers. So, as you said, this would be kind of the equivalent. This is to Canada, kind of what Lee Corso.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if Lee Corso was on game day and all of a sudden he just went on a rant about something political that made people feel uneasy, and you're just like, oh, man. Like Dick Vitale, also, I mean, like, you said Don Cherry's 85 years old, right?
He's 85, yeah. He's got a segment called Coach's Corner on Hockey Night in Canada.
Just for comparison's sake. Dick Vitale, who has seemed too old for 5 years, is 80. Lee Corso is 84.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee Corso has also seemed too old for 10 years. Maybe 5 years.
At that age, though, if there's something you want to get off your chest, you probably don't really care.
Oh,
right?
I don't know, man. I don't know how Don Cherry feels about it. Maybe he thinks he needed to say what he needed to say for whatever patriotic reasons he had in his mind. Also, I just feel really sad, though, because this is a guy, like I said, that's a legend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine, I mean, I don't know if the immigrant comments would do enough here in America, but imagine if Lee Corso was on game day and all of a sudden he started saying really racial things to Desmond Howard or about black people or another race. We'd all look at that and be like, oh, no. Like, there would go your entire legacy in one moment as an 85-year-old man who, I don't want to call him senile because you're not necessarily senile because you're 85, but I'm imagining you're not as sharp at 85 as you were years prior.
Well, it might be something he really believes in, though.
That's okay, but I feel like maybe a sharper version of himself would know that he can't necessarily do this.
I would think it would be more like Corso talking about Latino people, people coming across the border.
Okay, I mean, either way.
I think that analogy would make
sense. I don't know what Canada's stances are on immigration.
Who immigrates to Canada? Americans?
I don't know. I think I was told it was like a melting pot. They celebrated their diversity during the NBA Finals. And they had, the Raptors' big super fan was a Muslim. So I'd imagine that there's a whole melting pot of immigration in Canada.
It's interesting, though, because in America, when people are talking about immigration, they're always talking about Trump trying to build the wall and the, Mexican people.
Yeah.
That's what you think of, typically. Whereas, we are Canada's southern border.
Yeah, I'm imagining that he's not talking about Americans. Although, I mean, his problem was the immigrants didn't properly honor fallen soldiers.
Don Cherry says that the immigrants do not wear the poppy pins. So the
I didn't know Canadians wore poppy pins. So if I was an American that moved to Canada, it might take me a while to figure that out. But I'm also gonna guess that he was not talking about American immigrants. I don't really care about what he said about the pins and the veterans, whatever. To me,
that's actually an interesting quote.
I mean, he just said that the immigrants don't honor their fallen soldiers. I mean, that's pretty much the gist of it, right?
Then he said, "You love our milk and honey. You could at least pay a couple bucks for a poppy."
Sure.
Do people go to Canada for milk and honey?
I don't know. I assume that poppy had something to do with milk and honey.
I think of poppies. I always think of poppy plants.
Okay.
Making heroin.
Yeah. I guess.
I don't really know what the poppy is.
You said it was a great quote. Why is it a great quote then?
I don't know. I just wanted to read it.
Okay. Well, I mean, the quote's not the interesting part. Like, I don't care about his thoughts on immigration. That's not the interesting part of the story. It's more about watching someone who is a legend really hurt his legacy and get fired at the end.
You think he's too old to be on TV?
I don't know Don Chariot well enough to say that. That's why I'm only comparing it to Dick Vitale or Lee Corso, who I do know is too old to be on TV. I would feel really sad if Lee Corso had some unfortunate moment like this where ESPN had to fire him.
They're probably looking for an excuse to fire him.
I don't think so. I think they like propping him up, and I think he's still a ratings draw at the end to see who his picks are.
It's getting hard to watch.
I don't watch game day pretty much ever, but even this week I was watching some stuff on DVR. I think I was DVRing Friday Night SmackDown from the night before. And even at 11:50, I was like, you know what? They're making the picks now. I'll switch over to game day for a little bit. I didn't necessarily care who they pick. I don't feel like they're very good at their picks. I don't think they know what they're talking about in a lot of these games. And Justin Thomas was their guest picker, and I don't necessarily find him enjoyable, and he doesn't know anything about football, and I was just kind of like, I'll still just tune in just kind of out of nostalgia. And I saw Corso, and I'm wondering, do they have him on the whole 3 hours? Surely they don't make him sit up there for 3 hours, right?
No, I was watching game day the other day, and he disappeared for a while, so I don't know where he goes or whatever.
Hopefully they give him a rest and don't make him sit up there and pretend he could still analyze these football teams and football games. The picks and his not so fast, and great pick. All that is, he can play the hits, right? He can go out there, he's the Rolling Stones, still touring, and he's like,
Stones play the whole show, buddy.
He could go out there and play the hits, and like everyone still appreciates that. But hopefully, they don't make that old man sit up there from 9 to 12 and actually sit up there and try to break things down. But I would just feel sad if something like that happened to him, and I'd be like, man, the network is kind of responsible for this. We know the stereotypes of old people when they get a certain age. A, their thinking might change, or they might be more willing to reveal what they've always been thinking. They come from different time periods. And also, like, they don't have as much of a filter, either because they're like, hey, I'm old, I don't care anymore, or they just lose some of that cognitive ability.
Don Cherry said, you can go to hell. He said, I know what I said, and I meant it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fun.
Everybody in Canada should wear a poppy to honor our soldiers. He did an interview after he was fired with the Toronto Sun. He said, to keep my job, I would not be turned into a tamed robot.
And Don Cherry's been explosive throughout his career, so like maybe he doesn't care. Maybe this isn't the take to have when it comes to feeling bad about them propping up an 85-year-old man out there. Maybe he's still got the fire and he's still, you know, pretty sharp. I don't know. I don't watch Canadian hockey coverage.
I feel like if I'm 85, I'm just going to do whatever I want, you know?
That's why I was always so impressed by Vince Scully. Like, that's why, like, Vince Scully was able to cement his status as GOAT because he was still sharp as he was into his 80s and still being able to get it done and had a live microphone in front of himself. And he didn't say anything problematic. He just kept painting the picture of pitchers painting the corners. Like, he was really good at what he did, and he cemented GOAT status. Like, no one wanted to push him out. Everyone actually wanted one more year whenever he said he's retiring.
That's why he's got a statue at Dodger Stadium. He's as famous as Jackie Robinson.
He is the man. He was able to beat Father Time in his career. Maybe
Dodger Stadium is located at 100 Vince Scully Boulevard.
As it should.
I think it's 100.
I mean, Jackie Robinson, obviously a pioneer and a legend, but Vince Scully was with the Dodgers for how many years? 60?
Vince Scully Avenue.
60 years with the Dodgers? I mean, he started when he was like 20, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, I mean, he is the L.A. Dodgers. So, again, maybe John Cherry is perfectly aware, and maybe he doesn't care, and his legacy isn't going to be hurt. But when I hear 85-year-old man says something problematic, I just thought, who are 85-year-old sports commentators we still run up to prop up and play their gimmicks? I think of Lee Corso. I think of Dick Vitale, who we just put on TV so he could say, Diaper Dandy, it's awesome, baby! John Calipari did nothing wrong! Bruce Pearl's a cheater! That's all I think about.
He's the worst.
Like, I see Dick Vitale on his Twitter, and like he gets kind of fooled on Twitter sometimes and argues with people on Twitter.
Didn't you see Dick Vitale in the bathroom once?
I did. He came out of the restroom. He came out of the stall looking like he had been struggling. And I went to the toilet, and it seemed like a crime scene in there, like somebody had been struggling.
Did he not flush?
He flushed, but he left behind some things. But he's an old man, so I gave him a pass. I just gave him a head nod, and he came out sweating and was wiping his forehead, and I said,
oh, tough time in there, baby.
I didn't talk to him. I just gave him a head nod. I didn't say, hey, like, pitcher or anything. Nope, didn't do anything of that.
It'd be a weird place to ask for a picture.
It might be, but I didn't, like, go outside and follow him. I just, like, oh, okay, cool, Dick Vitale.
I got a picture for you. Open that stall. I don't like him.
It's all right.
Vince Scully is 91.
Vince Scully is a legend.
Been around since 1927.
He defeated Father Time.
That means he was 13 years old when World War II started.
Yeah.
He probably remembers it clearly.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric.
My name is John.
Basketball Vols hit the court tonight. Get a chance to watch them. Learn a little bit more. Maybe extend the home win streak. I hope you extend the home winning streak. You need to extend the home winning streak. As Murray State comes in, on my bookie right now, Tennessee currently sits as an 11.5-point favorite. What are you looking for tonight out of Tennessee, Cody?
Just a win.
Just a win.
Yeah, I'm probably not even going to watch. I'll probably look at the scoreboard after the game.
Not even going to bother at what? Let's
make sure we win. Is Murray State better than our first opponent? They were a tournament team last year, weren't they?
Yeah, Murray State's better. I mean, Tennessee was 24, 23-point favorites against UNC Asheville. They were only 11.5-point favorites. I mean, they were a tournament team, yeah, but they had Ja Morant. They don't have Ja Morant anymore.
Yeah, that's a big loss for them to not have. But that's a program that, you know, over the years has been a good basketball program. I don't know if they'll still be good. Ohio Valley team. It should be a better test than the whoever we played, UNC Asheville, last week.
I mean, they do bring back three of their five starters.
Yeah.
And five members of their eight-man rotation.
Should be a decent test.
But of those people returning, none of those, I guess, are the top two scorers. So they've lost Morant and their other top scorer. So they are replacing a lot of their scoring.
They won 26 games 2 years ago, 28 games last year. I mean, they've been a tournament team the last 2 years under Matt McMahon, their coach. So he's gotten them back to tournament status. He appears to be a pretty good coach in the Ohio Valley Conference.
He's from Oak Ridge.
Matt McMahon?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Well, this team, I mean, they've always had success as a program. Like, just looking back through the years, at least in this era, in the 2000s.
Yeah, no, they are a good mid-major team.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I think I'm a little worried.
When I went to their city one time. I went to their, I didn't go to their campus, but I went to their city, and they have a nice Applebee's there, so I can understand why they're a good mid-major.
And Murray?
Yeah.
Their city is called Murray?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Where's it at? Kentucky?
Yeah. Girlfriend had a work thing.
Yeah.
So we had to go. So I just kind of sat in the hotel while she was working. I watched, like, playoff baseball, and then we went to Applebee's.
You said they have five players back from their eight-man rotation?
Yeah.
I'm actually worried about this game now.
I think they're a test. I mean, when you said you're not going to watch, I think it would be a game worth watching, at least, you know, hopefully Tennessee pulls away in the second half. But this is a team that had some success last year. They won what, one tournament game?
Yeah.
They beat Marquette.
They got to the round of 32.
Okay, and then lost.
Yeah, they lost to somebody in the round of 32.
It's better than losing to nobody, I guess, and still finding a way to get knocked out in the round of 32.
Yeah, I'm not sure who they lost to. I remember
the game.
I do too. Was it
Morant got off to a good start, and then it was over.
Yeah.
It had been like a four seed that they got beat by, maybe.
Florida State.
Yeah.
90-62.
Yeah, they didn't have the athletes to run with Florida State.
No.
They
had the athletes to run with Marquette, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, Florida State just had a bunch of length and athleticism, and they couldn't do anything with them.
We got to play Florida State this year, too.
Yeah, and Florida State beat Florida, so that's going to be a good non-conference matchup for Tennessee.
We've got a really difficult schedule.
That's what we do. Even our mid-major teams we play are tournament teams, usually.
Well, we're going to need to play better than we did the other night against UNC Asheville, because this is probably a team that's capable of beating us.
I would say that's correct, especially with what we've seen from Tennessee so far. Like you said, didn't play very good against UNC Asheville. I was hard on him after game one. I want to see what Josiah Jordan James does in game two. I'm ready for another data point, right? I'm ready for another data point with this team to try to learn more about it. This is a team that has some familiar faces, but it's weird in the sense that it's just a completely different role for everybody, right? Like, we talk about Murray State losing their top two scorers. Tennessee lost their top three. They lost four of their biggest, three of their biggest guys in their rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was that our top three scorers last year? I mean, I imagine Admiral and Grant were 1 and 2. Was Bone, did he score more points than Lamonte or Bowden? I'd imagine it's close, I would assume Bone was the number three guy. So Tennessee's in a similar situation of having to try to kind of recreate its identity. Now you have guys like Murray State who are like, okay, now Ja's not here anymore. Whose team is this? Who's going to step up and be that guy?
Yeah, I take back saying I wasn't going to watch the game. For some reason, I was just looking over Murray State in my mind, and I forgot they're a very good team.
9 o'clock tip, though.
This is actually on the SEC network, though, right?
So yeah, 9 o'clock, though.
We can actually watch it.
9 o'clock.
As opposed to the last game.
So I do wonder how that will affect
attendance.
Tennessee's done really good with attendance. You know, they have another sellout. I think it's their fifth of the year. They have sold a bunch of season tickets. The tickets are hot, but it is a 9 o'clock game against a team that, you know, maybe the casual fans like you, Cody, the casual fans might do like you did and look and say, Murray State don't need to be there. I didn't mean to call you a casual fan. That's not what I was doing. I was saying
I'm pretty casual in November.
Okay, but I wasn't trying to insinuate that. I was trying to say that people would look at that and say, Murray State, not really worried about them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is a game that you might need a good crowd to help push you over the edge.
I guess I wasn't really thinking about it because I've been thinking about this game Saturday against Washington. And
hopefully the team's not also thinking about that team.
I know. And what the hell is going on with this game against Washington? You can only see that on ESPN Plus.
I got you, dude. No.
Cam's got ESPN Plus now because of Disney Plus.
Just let me know.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a Saturday game during football season,
college football,
I mean, that you get bumped, but that seems...
Still seems like a pretty good matchup to not have it all on TV. Like, can you not put it on ESPN News?
People are going to be upset about that on Saturday.
Yeah, they are, as they should be.
Are people going to...
This is not 1994. We should be able to watch every game all the time.
Are people going to splurge for ESPN Plus now?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
It's
really smart by Disney to do this on this week. Like, hey, it's a lot easier to justify spending that ESPN Plus when you get Disney thrown on top of it and Hulu.
I imagine what a lot of Tennessee fans will do will be just go do the 7-day free trial and then cancel it after the game.
Perhaps.
I don't know if that works for the ESPN Plus, though, unless they're – do they have a separate like?
I bet they've got a free trial. Doesn't everything have a free trial? ESPN.
I would say ESPN Plus might not actually because trial. I would be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they did because so many people would use them just for one game.
Yeah. They no longer offer it.
I think they probably realized people were signing up to watch like the UFC fights for 1 week and then cancel or something like that.
Well, how much is just ESPN Plus? You might just have to pay for the game.
$4.99, $5.99.
I imagine a lot of fans will probably just pay the $4.99 to watch the game. $4.99 is worth watching the game, isn't it?
I would imagine so. Although some people just won't do it out of principle. Maybe it's a game you just hit the bar.
Well, if you're that stubborn, I mean.
Yeah, maybe it's a game you just hit the bar.
Somewhere if it's gonna hit, also, Bone was our third leading scorer last year.
Okay. Do you have the points by game breakdown?
Yeah.
Grant and Admiral at the top.
18.8, 16.5 Admiral, 13.5 Bone. Bowden was at 10.6. Lamonte Turner at 10.9.
Okay. Where was Kyle at? What he is?
7.4.
Yeah. So, I mean, you lost your top three scores. So Tennessee's in an even worse situation when you look at that from Murray State's point of view.
Does the Disney logo bother you?
What is the Disney?
It has bothered me my whole life.
What is the Disney logo?
Because when I was a kid, I looked at it, and it always looked like a backwards G or a backwards 6 to me.
Disney logo.
I don't know why, but my entire life, the D, I've always seen it that way, as like a backwards G or a backwards 6. It's bothered me my entire life. I don't know why they need that little curl coming around into the D. Just put a capital D.
That's just how you do a cursive D.
That's not a – I mean, that's a Disney D. That's not
a cursive D.
That's not how you do a cursive D.
I mean, sure, the loops are supposed to kind of connect, but that's how you do a cursive D.
A cursive D
is – you go down and around.
You go down
and around.
You circle and around and then a little curl up. That's how I was taught.
I mean, that's kind of what they're doing here.
It's kind of what they're doing, but it's too much. It's too much.
That's not what they're doing. It kind of looks like it, but that's not what they're doing. All right, let's turn left. Coming up next, Cam picked a winner. Let's hear him gloat about it. Talk Sports, Fan Run Radio.
All right, while we're still under a parking, I want you to go back out on that track and hit the pace car.
Hit the pace car?
Hit the pace car!
What for?
Because you hit every other damn thing out there, I want you to be perfect.
Eat it out, Eric. Kurt Hart, you scared to call the teaching? I'm just as poor and stupid as you. I'm going to drive, and I'm going to go fast, and I'm going to turn to the left again.
Can we just get back to the subject of racing, please?
Hell, bring it on, Danica.
Son of a bitch just slammed into me.
No, he didn't slam into you. He didn't bump you. He didn't nudge you. He rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Dude, check it out, Kenny. My very own NASCAR. Oh, kill, huh, Kenny? Beep, beep.
There's only one good thing about coming to these races. The vibrations from the cars. Oh, I love this car. This bike. Oh.
Vroom, 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 vroom. I love NASCAR.
My man Neezy said that this is appropriate because the NASCAR season's so long. We need a long intro to the segment because the NASCAR season has been going on forever. But here we go. Let's wrap up.
But yeah, we have one race left now because we were in Phoenix this past weekend.
And then they'll fire back up in what, February? Isn't the Daytona 500 in February?
I think so.
Do they only take like 2 months off? What the hell do they do? Is NASCAR just year round?
They take off December and January.
Is it the longest sport? Is it the longest sport in America?
Yeah, maybe, probably. Yeah. Other than baseball,
or no, baseball. I mean, it's longer. Baseball's than baseball. 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it's the longest. They just take off December and January.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Kev.
Wild. But yeah, we were in Phoenix this past weekend. Big race because we were about to cut to the final four for the championship race in Miami next week or this weekend. So big going into the race. Denny Hamlin, Blaney, Larson, and Elliott were all behind the cut line, so they all either needed a win, a really big performance, and you know some help from the other drivers to get in. So it started off early with Busch leading. He led up until the first caution, and then on restart, Hamlin took over there, and he ends up winning stage one. Stage two, after some restarts, Logano ended up taking it. So you're like, okay, Logano's going to get this back. He was holding the fourth spot down, so he was trying to keep his playoff hopes alive.
Oh, no. Oh, Logano.
Yeah, so
Logano.
He won stage two, so he did well stage two. Boom, went into stage three. Hamlin took it over pretty quickly from there. It really wasn't about lap 177. He took the lead from Logano, and he didn't really look back. He took a massive lead. He was up to like a 10-second lead at one point. He put Logano a lap down. Like, he was dominating. And you're like, man, Denny's going to run away with this. Then with nine. Oh, yeah. Also, Chase Elliott crashed. Ruined his chances. He
was done. That had to be a terrible feeling.
Yeah. So he
you think he felt like he let his team down? I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry, guys. We worked all year just to
He was driving pretty well, too. Yeah. And then, he crashed early in stage three to end that. But, yeah, Hamlin was dominating. And then with nine laps to go, a caution. Ooh. So it wiped out that 10-second lead he had.
What was the caution for?
Some random driver crashed.
That would be pretty frustrating.
Oh, yeah. Hamlin was in the car, like, banging his head on the steering wheel.
That's how
it'd
be.
Okay, that's kind of crazy, but yeah.
That's how I do it in my real car whenever I'm mad. I just start banging my head or start hitting myself, and I'm like, damn it. And I'm just thinking, like, they have cameras and, like, microphones in their, like, you know, cockpit or whatever.
Yeah.
I would be saying some really bad things. I would not be good to be live mic'd up like that.
Yeah, especially when it's just one of those random drivers that has no implications.
Like, just get off the road, bro.
They just hit the wall and, you know, start a caution.
But was it somebody's teammate? Was it somebody's teammate that needed to catch up? That'd be taking one for the team.
Maybe. Like, hey, for the squad. Yeah.
I'm gonna wreck. And I'm gonna give you a chance on the restart. Maybe NASCAR pays a driver every now and then. Here's a $10,000 TV bonus. We're gonna get some better ratings here to finish. We need the caution bad.
Here.
Yeah, just a little easy crash, little easy one.
But yeah, so they had a restart with eight left, and so it was Hamlin and Blaney 1-2, and so Blaney also needed a win. So, yeah, in the current situation, Hamlin and Blaney, either one, if they would have won, they would advance. Hamlin ended up holding on. Busch ended up passing Blaney to get to second. So, yeah, Denny Hamlin won, got into the final round. So now we have our final four set. We have Hamlin, Harvick, Truex, and Kyle Busch as the four going in.
Give me that four one more time. Give me that four one more time.
Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr., and Kyle Busch going for the championship. Logano, Larson, Blaney, and Elliott. This was it for
them. You've been cut.
Yeah, but Logano was lead, you know, had it going into this race. Hamlin won, though, knocked him out.
Great call by you, Ken.
And Thank you, thank you.
Where did Logano finish? Where did Logano finish in the race?
Ninth.
Ninth.
So yeah, he was actually.
At least he didn't finish like second or third. That'd have been.
He was up there at first, but he just started falling back. Yeah. But yeah, and now four of the top five drivers, so that was good.
You're back. Just in time. Yeah. All right, so what happens now in the championship? One race, whoever finishes the highest wins?
It's basically highest finisher.
Really?
Yeah, so it's a do or die here. Miami, Homestead, Miami championship. So we'll
talk about that on, Thursday, I guess?
Yeah, probably Thursday, Friday, somewhere in there. But, yeah, next week we will have a NASCAR champion.
One race, winner takes all.
Highest finisher between
the top four. The
four drivers that are left.
Yep. Yeah, not just everybody.
And the four drivers that are left are you mentioned the four drivers.
Yeah,
left.
Don't repeat it.
All the other drivers are kind of just competing against
not paying
themselves
attention to your segment. So
yeah, pride. The other drivers just for pride and like points for like technically like final standings. They can you know.
I'm sure some drivers
get up to fifth.
I don't know. I assume some drivers probably have bonuses if they finish
certain
places, levels.
So,
and
you got teammates too, so your teammates could help you out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
in a situation like this,
just go and wreck everyone else.
Yep.
Well, that seems a little extreme.
I would just be putting a hit out on all the other three drivers. Like, hey,
I'll
slide you some of this game check.
Although then maybe that would offend the drivers, and then they would wreck you for offering that. So maybe it's got to play it straight up.
They'd want to fight you after the race. NASCAR drivers, they get in fist fights sometimes.
They try to do the rating. They try to do some WWE stuff.
They get one hit in when somebody breaks it up.
They've been doing that long before WWE existed.
Oh, have they?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You ever seen who was it? Was it Bobby Allison in 1979 at the Daytona 500?
Mm-hmm.
I'll look it up
yes,
for you.
Yes, I remember it fondly.
I'll look it up for you.
I don't feel like it was much of a problem in the 80s and 90s, though, when the ratings were good. I feel like the fighting really
Been fighting for a long time.
I feel like the fighting really came back when the ratings started slipping.
They've been fighting.
And Tony Stewart was like, hey, I gotta go out here and do something for the sport. Let me go out here and get in a fight.
Or go ahead and run over a guy. Ratings were good when Tony was around, weren't they?
I thought ratings started going down like in the late 2000s.
Probably somewhere in there.
That's when really Tony Stewart ramped up his whole bad boy persona.
The NASCAR Champions Week, it's in Nashville. Do you know that? You know, they do the banquet after the season. They do a banquet where they award the champions. The awards, it's in Nashville this year.
We should get Cam credentialed.
We could. I think it would be pretty cool.
Let's send Cam.
Cam at the NASCAR Awards banquet.
I'd
be so out of place.
We should look into that.
I got a cowboy hat now, though, so I could rock that and just fit right in.
They're going to do burnouts on Broadway, and there's a NASCAR night at the Opry.
When is it?
December 3rd through 5th.
Are you booked 3rd through 5th?
No. I only got something on the 7th, so besides that, I'm good to go, I think.
We'll see if we can get you credentialed. Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric.